So as you know, we're going through this series of modern idols. In the past couple of weeks, we've looked at what makes an idol. I would encourage you to go back and listen, particularly to the first one from Matt, where he talks for a while about what constitutes an idol. But the one that I like, the definition that I'm kind of using, is that an idol is anything that takes the place of God in our lives, anything that we serve, we love, or we trust more than God. And so as we're going through, let's just open in prayer quickly, and then we'll carry on. Our Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would bless this time that we spend together now. Lord, as we think about the things that we put in our lives in place of you, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us this evening, Lord, that you would speak through me, that the words that I use would be yours, not mine. And Lord, just pray that we would dwell on the things that we look at, Lord, anything that stands between our relationship with you, Lord, anything that we might stand up as an idol in our lives. Lord, just pray that you would just point those things out to us, Lord, that we could cast them down. Lord, that we would focus on you. We just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as you know, Matt talked about alcohol a couple of weeks ago and how that can take over our lives if we're not careful. Bob talked about money and how that can easily become a focus. And then Matt again talked about celebrity. Again, first, both perspectives in terms of wanting to be a celebrity, that desire to be famous, but also how we can idolise celebrities. And we've looked at the fact that none of these are bad in their own right. The common theme that makes them modern idols is when we take them and put them in place of God. So today we're going to look at career. We're going to look at how God designed us to work. And that's a good thing. We're supposed to work. It's supposed to be part of our worship. It's not meant to be worshipped. Now, I found as I was looking through this that career, you know, certainly having worked all of my life in secular businesses, it's the one thing we're encouraged to do. We're encouraged to think about our career, to drive for success. Every performance review I've done or had has always talked about, yeah, how are you going to achieve? What are you going to do more? What have you done? What are you proud of? How are you going to grow? Where are you going to move forward? And certainly at the times I've been in management roles, you know, also kind of pressure to push the people that work for me forward and things like that. You know, career is supposed to be from a worldly perspective. And yet, as we've just sung, you know, Lord, maybe you, not I. You know, how different our Christian walk is from what the world tries to tell us. So, as you know, we've looked at this in Exodus 20. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. So, pretty much everywhere. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commands. So, you know, whilst we might not necessarily build carved images anymore, we're not a million miles away from the early children of Israel and the early people as they were walking through, as God was talking to them at this point. And as we've just read, as Daniel's just read to us, you can set up an idol in your heart. These men set up their idols in their hearts, put them, that which causes them to stumble into iniquity. You know, we can set idols in our heart. They don't have to be physical things that we bow down to. And just in case you think this isn't for you, therefore let him who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. You know, even if you don't struggle yourself with career, we're a family. We've talked, again, we looked this morning about how we're a family together. We need to support each other. We should be looking out for each other. And I know certainly for me, out of all of the ones we've talked about, career has probably been the difficult one sometimes. You know, the pressure to succeed, to move forward in life, in work. And so, yeah, we should look out for each other. Apologies, Sim, I changed the picture from the slides. But, you know, so often we sacrifice time, family, our relationship with God on the altar of career. Yeah, I was looking, so a job is a specific job that you have as a salary. Career is that longer-term professional journey with the aim of growth, of advancement, and could encompass different jobs. You know, as I said, the world tells us to think of career as important. I can definitely point to, and I'm sure some of you can, point to people in my own career that have made it their God. People that have sacrificed time, family relationships, marriages, all in the pursuit of career and success. Yeah, the world asks us when you're in work, where you see yourself in 5 years' time, what are your long-term goals? What are you especially proud of in your achievements? How are you going to advance yourself? We're not, that's not led to being humble. What are your strengths? What are you good at? Whereas as a Christian, you know, the Bible talks about blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We're told to seek first the kingdom of God. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life. Or in John, we're told he must increase that I must decrease. How very different that is from what we're told. And just in case you're sitting here thinking, that's right, I'm retired. Now, I was looking, the Bible doesn't say a lot about being retired. In fact, the Bible, the only time there's a mention, as far as I can see, is in Numbers where Moses tells the Levites that they should stop serving in the tabernacle when they reach 50. But it does then say that they should also immediately continue to minister to the brethren and attend to their needs. So retirement doesn't get you out of this one, sorry. But also I think actually it covers paid work, voluntary work, even I think hopefully as we go through here, what we talk about should apply for anything that takes up your time, anything you use your time for, whether it's paid work, whether it's a career in the traditional sense, or whether it's whatever you spend your time doing can easily become an idol, and we need to be careful. So God created work. It's something I don't think I'd thought about for a while, but he designed us to work. And in fact, he not only designed us to work, but he designed us to work hard and to be diligent, to be good workers. And to think of it as an act of worship that we can witness to people through our work. And we're warned in several places about being lazy. Right back in Genesis 2, I should warn you, there's quite a lot of verses tonight. You might need several fingers in your Bible or clicks on your screen. But I'm also quite happy to send you the list of all of the verses afterwards. We're told in Genesis 2:15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend it and to keep it. So the first job, you know, often we talk about the oldest profession being prostitution. I think you'll find in the Bible the oldest prostitution is the oldest profession is a gardener. In 2 Thessalonians, we're told, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That's pretty blunt, isn't it? In Ecclesiastes in 10, because of laziness, the buildings decay, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. Don't be lazy. Proverbs 10, he who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. It's good for us to work. We should work. And one that you'll often see when you look at Christians in work. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. You know, we can look at bondservants now. We would read that as employees. We're working for God. Wherever you are now, you're working for God. You're not working for man. Now, I remember somewhere I worked where we had lots of other companies working with us. One of the requirements was that you would put in your email signature, you know, I work for this company, but I'm currently assigned to this client. And I've often thought of that as quite a good reminder for me that you are a child of God. You're assigned to work wherever you are at the moment. So what happens when career becomes an idol? We're given, as we've just looked, we were created to work. And we were created to do it to the best of our ability, to do it to God, not to please man. But how do we know when the pursuit of career is starting to take over? I think one of the warning signs is it begins to define your identity. Yeah, this one hits me quite personally, as you know, or most of you know, I lost my job back in October last year. Every job I've worked since I left university, every job I've had has been a promotion on the last one. Everyone's been a new opportunity. I've even given some talks on career. I've mentored people, I've coached people on how to progress their career. And then suddenly losing your job. Yeah, one of the things that really surprised me was how much of my identity was actually tied up in that. When you meet people, you know, the first, particularly when you're kind of networking events and things like that, the first thing people ask you, so what do you do? And when you can't answer that, when you haven't got a job, and I'm sure it's probably the same at retirement as well, when you suddenly don't have a job to tell people, you realise quite how much of your identity can become wrapped up in your job. And you know, certainly for me personally, I feel that something God's been teaching me over the last 6 months to make sure that my identity is in him and not in my career. I think, actually, as I look back now, you know, it's much easier to look back on something, isn't it, than to sit in it and look forward. But actually, I can see that God has removed a lot of the distractions from my life. I had 2 months of not working, and then, praise the Lord, I got a new job, and it's great, and I love it. But it's not one I would have applied for. I realised the other day, if I'd have seen it advertised somewhere, I wouldn't have applied for this job. It just kind of, well, the world would tell you, it just kind of happened. Of course it didn't, and I can see God's hand in it. But sometimes we need things stripped away. Sometimes we need those things taken away to realise where our identity truly is. I think it becomes a problem when it starts to dictate your priorities. When you look at your work calendar before anything else, when somebody asks you when there's a church event on, when somebody asks you to do something and the first thing you check is what's going on at work, whether you can make it or not. You know, so often work can dictate our priorities. And when it demands your ultimate loyalty and your energy. Yeah, you know, as I've worked in different places, in different countries, in different cultures, well, I've lived in different countries, I've worked with people from different countries and cultures. Yeah, the US and in America, they have this phrase called presenteeism. You need to be seen at work. You need to show you want it more than anyone else. And those that do that get rewarded. Actually, in my day job recently, I've been looking at the work time reforms in Japan. Because we've been looking at particularly doctors and how they're reacting to the work time reforms in Japan. So Japan has a culture, in fact, it even has a word. It's a word called karoshi, which means death from overwork. That's the point when your job kills you. Yeah, the Japanese have a culture of overworking, of working so much. That's why, when you see them out, when they're tourists, they take so many photos because they don't have time to stop. Because they have such short holidays, such quick time to get back to work. They take loads of photos to remind themselves later, rather than, you know, they don't have time to enjoy it now. They also have this principle in Japan that if you want to succeed, you never leave work before your boss does, that you stay there. It becomes their ultimate loyalty, their energy, their focus. And it's not just the Japanese, it's just that's on my mind because I've been looking at them recently. Yeah, but you hear stories of people that that lose their jobs but don't tell anyone and continue to get dressed up and continue to go to work because their identity is wrapped up in their work. So what are the warning signs? How do we know? I think as a Christian, the warning sign starts with you don't feel like you've got time to pray or read your Bible. You leave early in the morning for work, you come home late, you don't have the energy to read. You're worried you're going to fall asleep if you close your eyes to pray. Maybe you sacrifice health, family, church life. You know, I think this one's the one for me. This is the one that I personally had to learn the hard way, I think. I travelled a lot in my early career. In fact, I even volunteered for it. Probably didn't admit that at the time. But at one point, I was away for work every month. sometimes a couple of times a month. You know, the consequence of that is I don't really remember the first 2 years of Millie's life because I wasn't here. I missed Sunday mornings because I had work to catch up on. Of course, I justified that to myself, that I was going to be distracted. If I came to church, I'd be thinking about work. I might as well get it done. What's the point in going to church and sitting there, not really listening because you're thinking about work? Do you know, I was just thinking about this morning as I was walking, buddy. It struck me. So Minnie's 21 now. So it's a while ago. I'm not in contact with any of those people I was trying to impress back then. Not one of them. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that I shouldn't have done it. In a sense, it led to the career, it opened doors. But I think for far too long, these things, you know, it's so easy to make it your primary focus, to lose sight of what's important. And that's when you know something's beginning to become an idol in your life, as we've talked. It's when you put something in front of you and your relationship with God. What about when you start to compromise your moral standards? This one's such an easy one to slip into, particularly, I don't know how many. Maybe it's just me, but if you're in anything like sales or client services, it's so easy to just drop a little lie to keep a client happy, to tell them what they want to hear, or just that extra little push the truth to win the deal, to close the deal. Or then you start claiming credit for something that you didn't do, or you inflate something you did do to be much bigger and much more impressive than it really was. Your focus becomes impressing the boss or the others around you. You become a man pleaser. You fear failure more than you fear disobeying God. As I say, that your focus becomes impressing the people around you. Or you feel worthless without your career success. You become bitter. You see people that start to get bitter because they've been passed over for promotion. Start to complain about not being recognised. I said you hear of people losing their job but still get up, still go to work because of the shame of telling people the truth. They feel like they've failed. I think all of these are signs that your career is starting to become your idol. But of course, Paul tells us in Corinthians that we have a more excellent way. Now, this is a famous... This verse, actually, where Paul tells us, so it's 1 Corinthians 12, where he says that I will show you a more excellent way. It's the verse right before 1 Corinthians 13, which talks about love. It's the famous verses that are read out at every wedding. Yeah, certainly going to be careful not to preach any prosperity gospel. But life's so much better, not necessarily easier, but better when you're walking with God and you're following his will rather than man's. So the world will tell us that work defines our identity. The Bible tells us in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me. Instead of dictating your priorities, maybe we should think, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Maybe instead of it demanding our loyalty and our energy, we should look at Matthew 10. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And maybe we could add, he who loves work more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Or maybe when we look at the signs, maybe we should think of Psalm 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. When you're tempted to compromise, when you're tempted to push or inflate or exaggerate, maybe think of that one. Isaiah 40, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. when you're feeling tired, when you're feeling burnt out, when you're feeling at the end of your own strength. Maybe that's a verse to remember. You know, to rise up on wings like eagles, to walk and not faint, is not a shit of caffeine to energise yourself. You'll run, I'm not going to worry, I don't know how many of you have run recently. I stupidly did the park run yesterday. I can tell you, I can't run and not get weary. I don't know about you, my legs still ache now. But those that wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Matthew 6, as we looked at already. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Put him first and all else will follow. Pursuit of career pales into insignificance. That's not to say that God won't use you in your career, but it'll be a side effect of following him, not the main thing. In Galatians, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Self-sacrifice isn't something you do for work, it's something you do for God. Or Galatians. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That's where your identity is. Your identity is not in work. Your identity is not in what your colleagues, what your boss thinks about you. Your goal should not be to put them first, to impress them, to build your career, to set that up as an idol in your heart. You are sons and daughters of God in Christ Jesus. So, 168 hours in a week. If you work full time, you probably do somewhere between 35 and 40 hours a week. To be generous, you do shift work, you do overtime. Some people put in more than that. But how are you spending the rest of your time? How much more are you giving to your career? Are you defined by your career success? Again, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We read in Luke the parable that Jesus told. And then he spoke to them a parable. He spoke a parable to them saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and not rich towards God. Yeah, how many of us build our career? And at some point, I know a guy that sadly died the week after he retired, that he spent all of his career building towards greater, more and more. At some point, our soul is going to be required of us. And who's going to benefit from that? That we should be storing up treasure in heaven, not treasure on earth. So, my conclusion is your work does matter to God. We are told to do our best. We're told to do it to his glory. But it matters most when it's kept in its proper place as an expression of worship and not the object of it. Your identity is in Christ. It's greater than any job title. We are sons and daughters of the Creator of the universe. That's got to be a better job title than even King, president, prime minister. Nothing competes with that. So, hopefully, that spoke to you. Hopefully, that caused you to think. It's so often the case, isn't it, when I'm sure Sim, Bob, Matt, Pete, so often when you do these things, it talks to you just as much as anything else. How important is our career in our lives? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, as we've looked not only tonight but across the other weeks, how easy we find it to take something good that you created and then put it in place of you in our lives. Lord, we thank you that you created us to work. But Lord, we pray that you would just help us to seek you first, to not seek approval of man, to not seek self-advancement, to not put our career ahead of anything, and certainly not our relationship with you. Lord, we pray that you would just remind us that our identity is in you. And Lord, our work is part of our worship to you. Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us this evening, Lord, that the things that we've heard might just play on our minds, Lord, that we would mull over them. That if we have any chance of our career being an idol, Lord, that we would just squash that. Lord, that we would focus on you. And we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.